going to talk about the tour. Could you just talk to me about The Masked Singer, please? Because I actually thought you did amazingly.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, gosh, it feels like a lifetime ago now.
I didn't work out it was you, but I absolutely loved it. And it was it the first series?
I did the first series, yeah. So before anyone knew what madness it entailed, really, it sounded even more mad without seeing it in advance. But it was great. A great sound. The production is just off the scales. Those costumes are like Hollywood level quality, you know, and just everything about it was just so well run. The secretive nature of it is sort of slightly hilarious.
I've heard about this. I'm not sure whether to believe how secretive it is when I've heard people talking about it.
Oh, it's like CIA level. You don't even know who's in the next room warming up their voice. Like, you don't know who any of the contestants are. They don't tell you. You find out when everybody else finds out, when it's on the telly. Like, there's no... Even the reveal, when you're hidden in the back, so you can't even see the reveal. So it's... it's mad.
Because you can really sing. So how different is it to... Or how nerve-wracking is it to performing comedy in front of audience to being in a costume behind a mask singing?
Well, to be honest, it's a very different... obviously, I love singing, but I get more nervous, you know, about singing. Because obviously I do stand-up and, you know, people expect you to be funny all the time, I guess. So when you're going, I'm going to sing this song from Les Mis, like, they're like, what? So I found that harder. Actually, if anything, I found The Masked Singer a lot easier because nobody knows it's you. So you've got that little bit of anonymity, you've got that mask on, and the only time anyone knows it's you is when it finally comes off after you finish. So it was a real treat, really.
Talking about the tour that you're embarking on, and you're coming to the Rose Theatre in Kingston, which is one of the many venues. Firstly, how is it going back to performing with a live audience after COVID?
You know what? It's been lovely, to be honest. There was definitely a few weeks of it being a bit like, you know, people sort of were so used to watching TV and also having their phone in their hand at the same time. You know, concentration levels were out the window. But you adapt, and that's the great thing about stand-up comedy is you're always reading the room and working out. Do you know what? Maybe that story is a bit long. I'll just cut that down a bit. You know, and so it was a real learning curve, and also I've not done it for a couple of years, so it also was sort of nerve-wracking again, which it's not been for two decades, so it was quite invigorating actually to get back out there. But audiences have been great. They've been so happy to be back in their theatres, and it's been really lovely to do it, and I've done such a, like you said, such a mammoth tour, 260 dates. We're down to the last 25, I think, now, something like that, and it's... And sometimes people say to me, why are you doing so many? But you know what's lovely is we're doing the arenas this week. So, you know, Manchester Arena and Leeds and Glasgow and all over. But I just like getting around the country. I like going to places. And also, you know, you get to support theatres who gave you your first gigs, that, you know, when they took a punt on you, so you can go back now and say, well, I'll come and do it now. So it's been really nice.
And do you amend your material at all depending on where you're playing? Because obviously Wembley is so much different to a theatre like The Rose, which is really intimate.
Yeah, I do, because certainly in the arenas you're sort of bringing a show, and the show's the show. You can't really have people chipping in, and you're not asking the audience questions, and but when you come to a theatre, like you said, it's a bit more intimate. It's just a bit more interactive, I guess, and it feels like you're certainly doing a show which didn't happen last night and won't happen tomorrow, depending on the reactions in the room.
But for the people who have perhaps never been to one of your events before, what's in store for them? Apart from lots of laughter.
Yeah, what's been lovely actually is for this tour, whether it's because of the different things I've been doing TV-wise, or maybe people are just thinking, right, I'm going to do something, what's on, and booking tickets, I've had a lot more people come to the show who've never been before and didn't know what to expect and all that. And it's been lovely to hear from them, because you do get to a point in your career where you think, everyone who likes me, and that's, you know, that's as much as it's going to ever be. So I would say it is, I sort of look back over the last couple of years, because obviously we've lived through a very similar time, and some of it is absolutely mad and maddening and crazy, and I think it's a cathartic chuckle, really, to look back and to suddenly be thrown into a, you know, me and my wife are so used to being apart, really, to suddenly be thrown together with six children in a house where we're used to being at work, you know, there was a lot of upheaval.
So does that mean you have had lots of time with COVID to get lots of new material, or with your busy family life, you haven't had any time to get any new material?
Oh, no. I mean, my family are, you know, they're great material bringers. But I think it's a bit, yeah, there's a bit more. People have come away from this show. What I've really enjoyed is people have come away from this show, certainly, you know, couples or, you know, if you've been in a relationship during the pandemic, and people come away going, have you got a camera in our house? Because some of the stuff you were saying is exactly what's been going on. So that's always a great feeling to think, okay, good, I've got something here. Because, you know, it can be, when you first tell a story, you think, oh God, I hope this is not funny, you know. And actually to have people come back and say, that's not only funny, but it actually resonates with exactly what we've been through. It's been great.
And who have you been testing the material out on, or do you even do that?
I mean, on this occasion, I didn't get a chance because it was literally straight out of lockdown last August, straight into the audience. And so I just try, you know, I just work it out on stage, really. And, you know, I've got family and friends around me, and I can always sort of test little bits of jokes and stories on them, but you don't really know until you get in front of a crowd if it's funny or not.
Will there be any singing in any of your shows on tour?
Well, do you know what? I don't want to sort of spoil the ending, but we do end with a bit of a group sing song, which everybody when I finish it, everybody's asking me to release the record. It's an original and sort of version, and people have been asking me to release it, so that might be something that comes later on in the year. We might do that for charity or something.
Lovely. And just finally, because Children in Need is coming up, and I did notice, yes, that you mentioned, obviously it's a really difficult time for everybody at the moment, but Children in, yeah, Need is such a staple of the British public. For people who perhaps are struggling but they still want to help with Children in Need, what can they do?
Well, you know, I said it the other day as well, which is that if you are worried at this time of year with cost of living crisis, fuel bills and stuff, you know, nobody at Children in Need wants your last fiver. You know, that's not what the charity is about. You're in need, so you keep it, and you can help in other ways. You can try and raise some money if you want to get involved, if you've got time. If you've not got time, you can still support other people who are raising money, raise awareness. A little share on Facebook or Twitter or whatever can help. Even just a good look message on a school notice board, you know, to what they're doing. That's all we need. And there is a difficult, it's difficult for a lot of people in this country at this time. But it's also very important to remember, we are a country of two halves. And whilst there are people struggling, there are also people not struggling. And, you know, I count myself in that. You know, I live in an area, it's wall-to-wall Range Rovers out there. You know, I tried to book Centre Parks the other day. It's fully booked. Mm. So some people have got money and we want theirs. So let's have their money this year. The thing about the UK is the poorest always give the most. They're the ones who will always give you. I remember that from my own upbringing. People would give you stuff even if they didn't have it themselves, you know. And this year especially, I think it's really important to focus, to go, do you know what? Thank you for everything you've done. You sort yourself out this Christmas. We're fine. But those guys up the road in the posh street will have their 20 quid.
Oh, well, thank you, Jason. And good luck with the rest of the tour and Kingston. And good luck with Children in Need.
All right, lovely. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Lovely to speak with you. Oh,
cheers, Lucy. All the best.